All right. What's up, everyone? Thanks for coming again. And today I wanted to start with a little quote. I'm saying it's a quote, but it's not a quote. I'm taking it from a Twitter account that I follow. Her name is Anna Fabrega. And her account is Anna Fabrega 11. Anna with one N. So she writes, "How to think elastically. Kids love making crazy connections between unrelated things like cars and elephants or paper and concrete. Adults don't want to seem silly, but innovation requires looking at the world in unexpected ways." I want to repeat that again. Innovation requires looking at the world in unexpected ways. I'm going to come back to that because this ties into the music thing that I'm doing, music production. It's not only, well, for me, I'm not only doing it to because I love music and I want to produce music, but I want to put music out there. I want people to know me for making good music. I want to build a fan base around the music, but I want to build a business around the music as well. And I'm not making music for this reason, but I love building things. So this is turning into a little project of mine that I'm trying to build. And I want to build it fast. Meaning, I'm not trying to write a top 5, top 10 Billboard hit so I can be famous. But the brand around the music that I'm building, I want to build it exponentially. I want it to grow exponentially. And innovation requires looking at the world in unexpected ways. So how can I use that and trying to build the new brand that I'm working on now? And just a little side note, I will be recording a new episode for the Solo Founder Podcast, talking about Santa Mine and what's going on, but we're in a little, transition right now. So I'm waiting till we finish that transition so I can speak on that. So I've been in this music course, like I said, in the first episode. I started first week of November. I've been producing on and off for probably the last, 15 years, but never really mastering it. Making loops, arranging them pretty badly, little to no knowledge of music theory. Now, I finished my first term, that was music composition and music production, and the music composition really opened up the world for me in terms of making music. And I joined a Remus competition this month. I didn't win. I don't know how many entries there were. I'm gonna assume 100 plus. They chose 8 and one winner out of the 8. As I was making the track, I knew this was the best track I've ever made. Now, it's the best track that I've ever made. Is it a good song that other people would like? Or was it good enough for the producer who was picking the winner to like? Was it his style? But when I was making it, I didn't care about any of that. Is it his style? Is it the style of this label? I sat down one day, started writing chords, and I just got into this creative hole, and out came out this song. I'm going to put it out myself, self-release it, and I'll put it in the comments of this episode. Once I do self-release it, I'll probably self-release it after I put this podcast out. But I'm going to put it out on SoundCloud, and then I'm going to put it on all the other platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, because that's part of what I'm doing, building my own label. So I can self-release and not have to wait for labels to say yes to me, my song is good enough to release. Or if they do say yes, you still have to wait sometimes up to a year on their release schedule for your song to come out. So I don't want to have to rely on anyone or any label to build up my own brand and my own fan base. I want to do it myself. I do want to release on bigger labels as well, because you have their fans listening to you, and you can build a fan base off of their fan base and be invited to DJ. But I'm going to release a lot of my own because I want to put it out there for the public and let the people's court decide if they like my music or not. So I joined the Remus competition. I didn't win, but it was a great experience. Although I didn't get feedback on my song, listening to the feedback to the producers of the other songs that made it, it was a good learning experience. because I could hear some things in their songs that maybe I might have done in my song that I can work on, or just in general, the feedback that they were giving, I can use those as tips to work on my future songs. So that was exciting. And yeah, it stung a bit that first day, that first evening when I was watching live and I didn't get picked. But it's just music, man. So just keep putting music out there, keep making music. It's subjective. What someone might not like, someone else will like. And there's 8 billion people. How many adults? Let's say, I don't even know how many. What's the ratio adults to children, children to adults? I think there's 120 million adults in America. 150 million. So in the world, let's say there's 4 billion adults. And let's say out of those 4 billion, 10 million people like house. Let's say 100 million people like house music. If I get 1% of those to like my music, that's more than enough for me to live on my music for the rest of my life. So that's how I look at it. So I'm building a brand, and there's a word that Puerto Ricans use. I don't know if they still use it, but growing up they use it a lot, called cocotazo. And it basically means a slap on the head, right? Your head is the coconut, right? Hard like a coconut. And tazo is just like the sound the slap makes hitting your head, I guess. I'm assuming. I know coco is head, but tazo is like bam, boom, I guess, like bang, you know? So I thought it was a funny word, and it kind of means headbanger, head slapper. And so I decided to name my label that, Cocotazo. So all the music that I put out should be quote unquote headbangers. And the music that I sign onto my label should be headbangers, subjectively. So I have the Instagram. It's CCOCOTASO on Instagram. And I made that Instagram a couple of years ago, and I was just putting videos on there. Not doing anything with it, but I wanted to secure the name. Somebody already had the name with the one C, so I just put two. I started it with two C's. But that's going to be the label. That's going to be the music brand. That's going to be the names of the parties, and hopefully one day a festival. So that is my goal and vision for the music brand. It's a label. It's a festival. It's a name for a party. We can take over, you know, bigger festivals can invite us, and the stage will be called Cocotazo Stage for that time frame, or just the set that me and my DJ friends do for, let's say, 4 hours. It's the Cocotazo Showcase. So that's what I'm working on, and it's really fun. Something I always wanted to do. It's just all about being creative. Creative in music, creative in the brand, creative in the content that I put out for the brand. And I'm looking forward to continue working on this because I'm having a lot of fun. There's no stress behind it of, I need to grow this because this is the lifetime business, or this is the business that I need to make a living. No, it's just a fun thing that I'm doing. And if it's successful, amazing. If it's a flop, amazing. I still had fun. I'll still keep doing it. It's just what I love to do. I'm glad I'm doing it now. And now to go back to that quote that I mentioned, adults don't want to seem silly, but innovation requires looking at the world in unexpected ways. The way I see that is, how are most labels started? Well, in the house music world, a DJ gets some notoriety, gets some fame, starts a label, but it's mostly to put their brand out there. Because they put out music and people buy music, people listen to music, and it's released by so-and-so label. I want to do the same thing, but how can I do it in a creative way? Now, I've been on TikTok a lot lately, and something about TikTok that I don't experience on any other social platform like Instagram and Twitter is that when I get off of TikTok, I feel encouraged, I feel inspired. And why is that? Well, the algorithm is scarily amazing how great the algorithm is, because it feeds me everything I want to see. And it's all about music. It's music business, music producers. The first day I was on, I liked a couple videos of DJs I liked, producers I liked, some music business. Let's say 7 total posts that I liked. Ever since that, That's all I've been getting. And it continues to get better. And it shows me new artists. And I'm connecting with new artists. And they actually follow back and engage with you. They comment back. We talk. It's actually social. As opposed to Instagram, if I put something out there, I mean, if I get one comment, I'm lucky. And I don't have a big following on Instagram, but you would think the following you do have, you interact with each other. I don't know if that's Instagram's fault because they're not really pushing me to my friends or the people that follow me, or is it they're pushing me to the wrong people, or the people that follow me just don't care. But on TikTok, they're either pushing me to the right people, or it's more younger people and they're different than people in my age group, millennials. Or Gen Z are using social to connect, to engage, as opposed to millennials, no clue, just either bored of engaging or just trying to look cool. Who the hell knows? But I love using TikTok and I've been using it more often now and I plan to continue using it more and more. And of course, now that I'm using it, it'll probably get shut down by the US government as I use it more, have fun and continue to grow. And I know all the stuff behind it. Yeah, the Chinese are watching. But you know, what can I do, man? Everyone's using it. Billions of people are on it. What's one more person, I guess? I can't be worried about that. I'll let the government worry about that. So I'm using TikTok. It's great. I love it. I'm connecting with other artists. It's a lot of fun. And I see a lot of potential in TikTok in growing a musician's business, music, the label. Others are doing it. Others have done it. I'm using that and I'm seeing results. As opposed to Instagram, I use it as well. And I post the same as I post on TikTok. It's mostly just a flop on Instagram. So, I mean, I'll keep using Instagram and posting because there are some people that I engage with, but I don't come out of there feeling more creative or excited as opposed to TikTok. And I'm not a user of TikTok that I'm addicted to it. I'm scrolling. No, the content that I do look at, I watch because I'm interested. I don't have that short attention span that's going around on TikTok. You know, 1 second and you scroll, 1 second and you scroll. It's made to connect you to content that you do like, so you do watch it. That's how they optimize it. And if you watch it for longer than the average amount of seconds listen on TikTok, they keep pushing it out to other people that like that content. That's how a post gets virality. It's like a positive way of introducing content. And I haven't even seen much negativity on there in the comments or posts. But then again, everything for me on my feed is sunshine and butterflies because it's all about music. So that's what I'm doing. I'll keep this one short. I don't want to ramble on. I spoke about everything I wanted to speak about. I will put everything in the notes. I know I didn't put anything on the notes in the first one. I have to get better at doing that. Sorry about that. I will put some notes on that because I think there's some links I want to put on there. I'll put the notes in this episode and also the link to my track. And let me know what you think about my track. Let me know on, you can't comment on Spotify. They should. That's something I've been thinking about. When are they going to add comments to podcasts on Spotify? So hit me up on Danny Vell's Music on Instagram or TikTok and Twitter. I'm on Twitter as well, Danny Vell's Music. I'm not as active on Twitter. Nobody engages with me, any of the followers. I think they've been long gone. But if you're new, I'd love to connect with you. And the reason I use these platforms is to talk to people. So hit me up and I'll definitely hit you back and have a great week. Peace out.